Failure is not an option.
What difference at this point does it make?
Nobody said it was going to be fun.
This is Real Talk, a fearless, poignant, and intrepid show where truth speaks louder than words. This is Real Talk with your host, Audrey Russo.
The shame, not of this world, so we live on the run. We keep our eyes set, on what is to come.
It happened before. It will happen again. It's just a question of when.
Time's a luxury we don't have. Hello, this is Chris Mitchell, the bureau chief for CBN News in Jerusalem and the author of the new book, ISIS, Iran, and Israel. And I'm so glad you're listening to my friend, Audrey Russo, on Real Talk.
Welcome back. If you're just joining us, this is Audrey Russo, and you're listening to Real Talk. Now, if you love thrillers, you'll love my next guest. John Trudell is an award-winning novelist, and his latest cyber thriller is Raven's Redemption. It's my great pleasure to give a Real Talk welcome to John Trudell. Welcome, John.
Audrey, thank you for having me on. I'm honored to be here.
Oh, thank you. And it's great to have you with us. And we're going to jump right in here, John. Can you please describe to us how you got started in fiction writing? And can you please share about your latest book, Raven's Redemption?
I would be happy to. It has been a really strange ride. And it's amazing. I wake up, I'm a novelist. How did that happen? It turns out I grew up old East Coast family, once wealthy and everything else. It was sort of a American tale, and we'd lost all our money. So I started off picking blueberries for 8 cents a pound, and then we had this Sputnik and everything, and they wanted engineers, went to school on scholarships. And I kind of lived the American dream. I wandered all over the country, worked for big companies, did a lot of defense stuff, and made good money, and people paid me to learn things. How does it get any better than that?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean, it was great. And so I had a very colorful career. I was the idiot savant in the back of military airplanes doing weird stuff, and then I did commercial equivalents of that, work for some big companies. At the end of my career, for about 20 years, I had my own consulting practice with people like Intel and Hewlett-Packard and folks like that. And it was just fascinating. I saw crazy science. I met really interesting people. And I could never talk about it. Okay, it was always either, if it was military, it was classified. And if it was commercial, it was even worse. It was a non-disclosure. There was nobody more paranoid than, say, Andy Grove. So that was my career. And finally, you go, okay, enough is enough. And why don't, and I, by the way, I'd started writing books. Now, if you're a little tiny consultant, just you, how do you find an Intel or an IBM or somebody? You can't call them up and say, pay me a bunch of money and I'll help you with your problems. They have to come to you. So I did columns for magazines, and I did seminars, and I did a couple of nonfiction books. And that was just part of it. And so I would, that was part of my business model, and I'd written books. And I had all these weird stories, and people kept saying, well, John, you have all these weird stories. You ought to write novels. You ought to write novels. And I go, yeah, okay. So I told my wife that I was retiring. Okay. I'll write a novel. How hard can that be? Took me 10 years.
Oh, my gosh.
It's an entirely different craft, and it really is. You have to do dialogue and scenes and all this kind of stuff. And I wrote and I wrote and I wrote, and I had agents, and times passed, and, you know, I could talk forever about that segment. But one day I got published, and now I'm a novelist, and the novel started winning awards. And kind of the tagline, there's a big difference between being a writer and being an author. If you're a writer, as a novelist, you sit in your room and you talk to your imaginary friends and you come up with schemes and sometimes do research. But once you're published, you're out there in the wild and people redefine me. So I thought I was like a Tom Clancy guy. You know, I was doing technology stuff.
Sure.
But it turned out that the market redefined me, because everything I wrote started happening. And these days, everything is political. So now they tell me I do political thrillers.
Well, did you see anything in particular that was defining what, well, was showing that what you wrote was coming true?
Every book has hit reality, and I could talk about each one of them. But let's take the Ravens series. That's my current series. Ravens Redemption is the most recent, and it's kind of a loose sequel to Ravens Run. I'll talk about that one. So I'm sitting, and I'd done a couple of books, and they'd won some awards and for different things. And if we have time, we can double back on that. But I write Ravens Run. Okay. And I come up with a scary line. I thought, what would be really scary and kind of interesting and involve some science and technology and threats? How about terrorists with Iranian nuclear weapons? I go, yeah, that's pretty scary. Didn't seem real plausible, but yeah, that's really scary. Okay, so the book, this is like 2 years ago. I write the book, and then you're exhausted. Okay, the book's out. Then you got to start promoting it. And we roll into the Christmas season, and here's my little tale of terrorists with Iranian nukes. And I've done one signing and maybe an interview, but we haven't really started on pushing the book. I turn on the television, and there's Michelle Bachmann, and she's the last thing she did before she's leaving Congress is she went to Obama's Christmas party. And she wants to say goodbye to him, and they didn't agree on much, but she wants to leave him with a thought, and they talk about that, and their family says, I got to do this. And so they stall the reception line. Her husband slows everybody down, and she has a minute or two with Obama and says, Mr. Obama, whatever you do, you cannot let Iran have nuclear weapons. That would be a really bad thing. And, of course, he goes, there, don't worry your pretty little head about it. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the end of the discussion. And she talked about that some, gave a couple of interviews. Well, here I am, and nobody is talking about this Iran deal, but that's my novel. You know, well, let's do interviews. Congress wasn't even allowed to know, if you'll recall.
Right.
And so all of a sudden I'm doing all these interviews about my book that talks about Iran with nuclear weapons. And what do you think? And what do you think? And so I'm doing interviews and I'm doing book signings. And it goes on and on and on. And I cannot finish the next book, Raven's Redemption, until they do something with this deal that isn't a deal. Because whatever happens, that'll be the reality, and I can't get that wrong. So I'm waiting and waiting and waiting. And meanwhile, I put out a little alert note, you know, because they're trying to stop the deal. 7 talking points. I used to be a management consultant. If you want to stop the deal, here's what you have to do. You know, point one, you had to fire some Republicans in high office. no point in naming them now. Some of them are still there. Some of them did get fired. But I did this little cheat sheet of what you could do. One of the presidential campaigns picks up my cheat sheet Okay, the Cruise campaign puts it in their newsletter, and it goes to a zillion people. All right, and all of a sudden you get all this attention, which is more stuff coming in on social media, but some of it is about books. Well, finally, I get the sequel done, and that's Raven's Redemption. In Raven's Run, we have the first hit, and they have essentially they have delivery systems. They have missiles on an icebreaker, and they're going to hit the U.S. with an EMP weapon, and my little team of patriots managed to thwart that. Mm-hmm. And I come on and I do the sequel, which is Raven's Redemption. And the interesting thing is, as you get visibility, you get good context. You talk to people, they tell you interesting things. There's a lot of people that will talk to novelists that want to be on the record for anything.
Right.
And one of them, I guess, is how I got to this show, Paul Vallely.
Yeah.
So Paul and I kind of knew each other for years and really respect the man. He's a really sharp guy.
We love him.
We had
here.
Never met face to face. But we'd run around Arizona doing talks, and I'd do book signings, and wherever I was going to be, he'd been there the week before, he was going to be there the week after. So we knew of each other, but we had never met. Okay. But we wanted to meet. We talked, and I follow his writings, and he follows my writings, and if you look on the back of Raven's Redemption, you'll see a very nice cover blurb he gave me about about my book.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, finally we get to meet, and this is like last fall in Arizona. And he's there, and we have time. Oh, we can actually get our schedules together, and we can meet for a cup of coffee. Well, the cup of coffee turns into all morning, and finally his wife is there, and they got the grandkids and blah, blah, blah. And so we have lunch, and we talk and everything. And we are, he's leaving, okay, and he has to go somewhere, and I have to go somewhere, and so we're saying goodbye. He pulls out his cell phone and holds it up so I can see it, and he shows me this video. And the video, and all he says is, no, he shows it to me first. And it's a great big container ship. It's out in the ocean somewhere. There's no background. All you see is this huge ship with all the containers on it.
Mm-hmm.
And one up on the top, the top tips off the one of the top containers, up comes a missile launcher, points for the sky, zingo, away it goes, and he names it, it's a Russian intermediate range missile. He looks at me and says, there it is, closes his phone, he leaves, I leave, and I think about this for weeks, okay, and finally, I can't stand it anymore, and I call him up, and I say, Paul, I got to ask you, where did you get that video? That was so realistic, you know. And he there's this long pause, and he says, John, you wrote the book. And I go, Paul, I made up a story.
Oh, my God.
Okay. And so, all right, so he never did. Of course, he never told me where he got the video or, you know, the details. But he says to me, go and Google Club K system. It could be CLUB-K or KLUB-K.
Mm-hmm.
All right, fine. So I go on Google and I go, zingo. It's all over the place. And the Russians are selling these small missile launch system. They fit four launchers in a standard cargo container. And they have been selling these things to Iran. At the time I talked to him, it had been for 2 years. It's probably 3 years now. And so this is a product that they market around the world, and you can buy one of their little missile systems, and it has, like I said, four launchers in it, and you can really be kind of a threat to your neighbors. The ones that they were selling to Iran, are selling to Iran, were not nuclear. They were a mix of fixed target where you could put in GPS coordinates and take out a building or whatever.
Mm.
One was really nasty. It was a carrier killer, like Mach 3, you know, and zinc. Okay, but that's real. And it wasn't just on the internet. It was like Reuters and stuff like that. So everybody in Europe and around the world knows about it. I've never seen anything on US TV.
Mm.
So that's how my novels crash into reality.
Sure.
They have all done it for different things. But the Raven series is the hot one right now. And Raven's Run had the initial threat with EMP weapons. My characters thwarted that.
That's pretty frightening, too. Why don't you share, for the listeners that don't know what an EMP attack is, can you share what that is?
I absolutely can, and in fact, let me give a couple of websites and things, because you can look inside the books. In the back of each of my books, I have a little section that I call Factoids and Fantasies or something like that, and it's the reality behind my novel. So I'll put 8 or 10 pages in the back of the books, and I do that for all of them. An EMP weapon is an electromagnetic pulse weapon, and it turns out that basically it kills electronics, and the whole history of that science and everything has been known for quite a while now. It surprised everybody back in the 50s and 60s that if you set off a high-altitude nuclear burst, it fries electronics for a long, long way. And we used to worry about that during the Cold War, and they did all these intensive studies that were well-funded that talked about the threat. And the book came out. I actually had a discussion with a congressman who'd been briefed about this. And he said, oh, is this really, really? Yeah, it's really real. Well, the old briefings say that you will have probably a 70% mortality rate in the cities. Because if you take out everything electronic, all the the fuel, you can't get fuel, you can't get anything. People will starve. And it's pretty deadly. And like one of these would at high altitude would take out half or two thirds of the country. So those are EMP weapons. And the interesting thing, when I talked to this congressman, I said, well, they're getting briefings and they're saying, well, the 70% mortality rate. And I go, it used to be very classified, now it's open source. And I go, okay, fine, that's what they were briefing back in the 60s. What has changed since then? And he goes, what do you mean? And I said, well, the laws of atomic physics haven't changed, but what has changed? And he says, well, I don't know what you're talking about. I said, well, what has changed is everything around us is solid-state electronics now.
Yeah.
So it used to be you had mechanical parts in your car. Well, no longer. You have semiconductor electronics. They would all fry. Your sewage plants, your pumps, your, you know, all your switching stations. So they would just poof, be gone. So I'm saying 70%, that's pretty conservative. You know, I think it would be more like 90%. And he's going, well, either way, it's pretty bad. So that's the threat, and that was the first book. Now, what I did in Raven's Redemption is my battered team is recovering from having survived the first thing, and Raven's Redemption focuses on they're working with other terrorist groups in the U.S. So you have jihadists and folks like that coordinating with Black Lives Matter people and things like that.
What a surprise.
Which, again, is really happening.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I was going to say, what a surprise. We actually only have a few minutes left, but I would like to know, John, how political correctness, in your opinion, is robbing our free speech rights.
Well, it's actually more than that. George Carlin, several years ago, said that political correctness was fascism pretending to be politeness. Okay.
I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a great quote. But I got to tell you, the gloves are coming off. It is far more than just political correctness. I mean, the nasty, nasty things are happening. Two books I'll refer your listeners to: Ben Shapiro's book, Bullies. He's on the right, and of course, he talks about how these people are just bullying people to silence them. And if you want somebody from the left, Kirstein Powers did a book, The Silencing. And there is absolutely a campaign like that to chill out free speech. But wait, there's more. It's getting to be pretty heavy duty. Right now, we have people who have been jailed as terrorists, okay, under terrorism laws. There's a bunch of ranchers. If you forget the total now. There's probably about 50 people being held as political prisoners. And it was protests over ranches and, you know, detailed, some in Nevada, some here in Oregon. Mm-hmm. Among that bunch of people, there are three reporters who have been held, you know, for felony, 20-year felony kind of crimes under terrorism laws. One of them is a guy named Pete Cinelli. One is a guy named Mike Emery. And one is a guy named Mike Strickland. So in this bunch of about 50 political prisoners, there are three reporters that got caught in the nest. They have been imprisoned without bail, sometimes in solitary confinement, since last January. And the Pete Cinelli guy is a radio host, just like you are. And it turns out another friend of mine, Michael Conley, he's the executive director of U.S. Justice Foundation, I did an interview with him for my books, and Michael's saying, well, I know this Pete guy. Where is he now? He's just disappeared. And I said, I don't know. He's got wound up with these ranchers. I think he's in Oregon. Well, I think he's in Nevada. Well, they'd moved him back and forth. So Michael sends me off on this thing. It turns out Pete Cinelli, he was held in prison for without bail for 7 months from last January. And just a week or two ago, they're now on trial, all these ranchers. Pete was released after 7 months in prison and most of it in solitary. They said that they didn't have anything to charge him with. So they dropped the charges. The trials are proceeding here in Portland. And did they release Pete? No, they sent him down to Nevada. Because he also was there reporting on the Bundy Ranch in 2014. So he's still imprisoned, and it's thought crimes. It's intent to do this, intent to do that. So there's three reporters, and a whole bunch of strange people. One of them is Trump's campaign manager, Jerry DeLumis is his name, mm-hmm. and he's imprisoned down in Nevada. They rounded him up again in January. And what did he do? I'm not sure what he did. He went to the Bundy Ranch in 2014, but he didn't even get there until it was all over with. And he stayed around and he helped them make some videos and everything. And they went back to New Hampshire. He was Trump's campaign manager in New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. He's still in prison, okay? And they're trying them as terrorists. And the government has spent a huge amount of money, estimates are like $100 million, prosecuting these 50 people as terrorists, and it's basically not for anything they've done, but for what they may have been thinking.
Incredible. Incredible. Yeah, believe it or not, we run out of time, as always happens when the guest is interesting. We have a very important question here. Can you please tell the listeners where they can follow and support your excellent work and purchase your books, including Raven's Redemption?
You can find all of my books on my webpage, johntrudell.com. Okay, that's my website for my books. If you want nonfiction topics, it's blog.johntrudell.com. And there's a lot of this reality stuff. Now, where can you get my books? Any bookstore can get them. And they're on Amazon. You can get them on Kindle. And the last thing about this free speech thing just happened, so you're getting breaking news now. Mm-hmm. I just got silenced by Amazon. I have an author's page, like all authors do, or most of us do, and the idea is you have this author's page with all your books there, and I have it. You can look, and you can get all my books from Amazon, and any bookstore can get them. And there's supposed to be discussion threads under this page so you can chat with your readers. Mm-hmm. Well, I got told at the end of August, out of the blue, all of a sudden, I can't comment anymore. So that's been shut off. And I have some trolls who have taken over those discussion threads under my own author's page, and they're posting nasty stuff about my books and Trump and everything else. So talk about me. Now, I think this is going to pass.
Yeah.
So what I'm doing right now is I am in the process, as I'm going to put my books on all other possible distribution channels. So I have 5 novels out there, and you can get them anywhere, but mostly they're on Amazon. The company that published them is owned by Amazon, and they treated me pretty well. But right now, I'm going to get it up in every possible distribution channel. So we're doing 15 new books as quickly as we can, and they will absolutely be available everywhere. But right now, the best way to get them is through Amazon or going to any bookstore. The bookstores so far are not stocking them, but they will be as I get into channels that bookstores like.
That's
so that's that story. Basically, any bookstore, go to Amazon. And all of my ebooks are going to be up on every distribution channel before Christmas. Raven's Run is already up on, you know, Apple iBooks, things like that. Raven's Redemption will be released this week. So I'm going to have all my books in every distribution channel, the ebooks by Christmas. The paper books may take a little bit longer, and we're going to do both hardback and softback. So Living Well is the best revenge. I don't know. Right now I'm being beat up by Amazon because they choked everybody down.
What a surprise. And, of course, I'll have that info in my social, actually, in my after show, which is now right on my show page. You just go to AudreyRusso.com, click on the on-air button, and that will take you not only to the show and the archives, but under the show description, you'll see the links that John just shared with us. John, thanks so much for sharing your work with us. May God bless you, your work. And may God save America. Bye for now.
May God save America. Thank you very much. And I'll link to your site, too, when I get one, when I get a copy of the show. That'd be great.
Thank you. Bye for now.